First John chapter 3. We'll really look at the first verse this morning, and in particular, really just kind of one part of this verse. And I pray that during our brief time here, during the Sunday school, the Lord will give us an understanding of His Word. But 1 John chapter 3, he writes, "Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us." And more than anything this morning, I want to speak on the very first part of that verse, "Behold, what manner of love." Let's pray the Lord will bless His Word today. Our dear Heavenly Father, Lord, thank You. Thank You for this beautiful day that You've given us this morning. Thank You, O Lord, for causing us to be here, for bringing us here. And I pray, O Lord, that this morning as we open up Your Word, that You would be pleased, O Lord, to cause it to go forth with power to the blessing of Your people. And may Christ be magnified this morning. It's in His name that we pray. Amen. This morning, I'm about to preach a message concerning a subject that I cannot comprehend. Sorry. It is a subject that is beyond the ability of this feeble, frail, and ignorant mind to comprehend. There is nothing that I can do today to fully explain it, nothing I can do in my delivery to convey its meaning to you. I want to simply show you what God has declared in His Word concerning His love. And I pray that the Lord would be pleased to reveal His Word unto us, His truth. The only way that we are ever going to know the love of God, the only way we're ever going to know anything of God, is by divine revelation. And this is the means by which He does it. The preaching of His gospel. And just looking at His Word. How often does Chris say Scripture sheds light upon Scripture? I want to make a few statements first in regards to love. With man, love is fickle. It's fickle. It means it's constantly changing based upon circumstances, based upon situations, based upon conditions. And we know that to be true. When we look at our love, we know that to be true. It's fickle. Our love is sentimental. Our love is based upon emotion. It's conditional. The truth of the matter is we usually only love those that love us. Those that meet the requirements that we have of them to receive our love. Our love is temporary. Our love is constantly changing. It's strong at times and weak at others. It's a burning fire or a dying amber. But love is not an emotion of God's heart. It's an attribute of His nature. It's a part of His character. God's love is not motivated by something outside of Himself. The Word of God declares that God is love, that love is of God, and it is the fruit of His Spirit. And I also want to make this last statement in regards to God's love. God's love is only in Christ. It's only in Christ. There is no love of God outside of Christ. Outside of Christ, there's wrath, there's judgment. In Christ, there's love. Now I want us to consider some truths concerning God's love just briefly this morning. First of all, is that God's love is sovereign. Now the word sovereign is not found anywhere in the Word of God. However, the sovereignty of God's love is clearly declared, defined, and revealed. Look at Romans chapter 9 for a moment. (Clears throat) And we'll start actually at verse 11. And this is concerning the promise of God to Abraham and to his seed. It was concerning that covenant of mercy which God made with him. In verse 11 we read, "For the children being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of works, but of him that calleth." This is God's choosing of a people. He said to Abraham, he said, "I'm choosing a people, and they will be my people, and I will be their God." Well, how does he choose that people? "It was said unto her, the elder shall serve the younger. As it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated." So it's clearly defined in here. Jacob have I loved, Esau have I hated. What shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? God forbid. "He saith unto Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I'll have compassion on whom I will have compassion." It is the I wills here. This is God's sovereign will according to his purpose. He loved Jacob. He hated Esau. He had mercy on Jacob. He didn't have mercy on Esau. He had compassion on Jacob. He didn't have compassion on Esau. God is sovereign in everything that he does. And in his love, in the dispensation of his love, he is sovereign in that. He loves whom he will. He saith to Moses, verse 16, "So then it's not of him that willeth, not of him that runneth, but it's of God that showeth mercy." There's nothing they did to deserve it. They had neither done evil nor wrong. "For the scripture saith unto Pharaoh, even for this same purpose have I raised thee up, that I might show my power in thee, that my name might be declared throughout all the earth." Pharaoh's existence in this world was simply that God would raise him up, cast him down, and destroy him before his people, because he's sovereign. "Therefore he hath mercy on whom he will have mercy, and he will harden, and whom he will, he hardeneth. Thou wilt say unto me, why doth he yet find fault? For who has resisted his will?" Man always has an objection to the sovereignty of God. Always. Until God humbles him and breaks him and causes him to bow. "Nay, O man, who art thou that repliest against God? Shall the thing formed say to him that formed it, why hast thou made me thus?" I thought about that woman with the issue of blood. The Lord said, "It's not me to give that, which is good to the dogs." And He basically told her, "You're a dog." And she said, "Truth." That's absolutely true. "Hath not the potter power over the clay of the same lump to make one vessel unto honor and another unto dishonor, to love one vessel and to hate the other? What if God, willing to show his wrath and to make his power known, endured with much long suffering the vessels of wrath fitted to destruction, that he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy which he had afore prepared unto glory." Every recipient of God's love was chosen by him in Christ according to his sovereign purpose and according to his sovereign will. God's love is eternal. It is without beginning and is without end. Again, love is an attribute of his nature. It's part of his character. Everything God is, he always has been and always will be. God is love, and his love has no beginning. His love has no end. And I find comfort in that. I find comfort in that. The Lord told Jeremiah, "The Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, Yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love." God's love is immutable. It doesn't change. God's love is perfect. He does not love today and hate tomorrow, nor did he hate yesterday and love today. He said, "I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed." We read of Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. God is love, and that love is in Christ, and that love never changes. There are no variations to God's love. Those whom God loves, he always will love and always has. His love is not hot one day and then cold the next, like ours so often is. His love never diminishes. His love never comes to an end. And His love shall never be exhausted. And the love of God is beyond our understanding. Paul's desire for the church at Ephesus is that they would know the love of God. Look at Ephesians chapter 3 real quick. We'll look at this passage. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14. Paul said, "For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that He would grant unto you according to the riches of His glory to be strengthened with might and by His Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend the saints. What is the breadth? What is the length? What is the depth and the height? And to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God." The love of God exceeds our understanding. The love of God is completely beyond our comprehension. Why did God love a sinner like me? A vile, corrupt, depraved, God-hating sinner. Why did He love me? Why did Christ agree to become my surety in the salvation of those whom the Father gave Him? Out of the same lump, out of that same depraved lump, this people, there wasn't anything beautiful about them. There wasn't anything desirable about them. And the Lord Jesus Christ agreed to become their surety. Why did it behoove Christ to be made like unto His brethren? Why did He make Himself of no reputation and humble Himself and become obedient unto death? Why did He offer Himself a sacrifice for sin, my sin, our sin, the sin of His people, on the cross? Why did He bear my sin in His own body on the cross and suffer the wrath and judgment of God in my place as my substitute? Why does He now live to make intercession for me? Why is He going to come again and gather all His people together, that where He is, they may be for all eternity beholding His glory and singing His praises? Love. Love. It all begins with love. The work of salvation is a work of love. And that's important to understand. You see, love is active. We don't have time this morning, but if you turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 13, you see that. Love is active. Love does. Chris has always said that so many times. Love does. Love does. Love is not idle or dormant. And how do we know the love of God? We know it by His actions towards us, right? We know it by those things that He has revealed to us, done for us and in us. God so loved the world that He what? He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish but have everlasting life. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through Him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. It's active. God commendeth, God shows, God proves, God establishes, God exhibits His love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because He laid down His life for us. And even in that text, that of God is actually italicized. It's put there to help define it. But if you read it simply as that, hereby perceive we the love. There's only one love. There's only one love. Ephesians chapter 5, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church. And what did he do? He gave himself for it. How do we know that Christ loves the church? Because he gave himself for it. Why? That he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Love does. Love is active. And salvation is a work of love. Look at Ephesians chapter 1. Let's see this. Ephesians chapter 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Every blessing of God is only in Christ. The love of God is only in Christ. Salvation is only in Christ. How are we in Christ? According as he has chosen us in him. He chose us in him before the foundation of the world. Why? That we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he has made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Forgiveness, redemption, adoption, salvation. Why? Because he chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world, predestinated us in love. In love. Look at Ephesians chapter 2, right across the next chapter. And you who are dead in trespasses and sins. That's us by nature. By nature, we are dead in trespasses and sins. Wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. There's no difference between us by nature in this world. We're vile, we're corrupt, we're dead in trespasses and sins. The only difference is the difference that God makes. The Lord looked down from heaven in the days of Noah and saw that every intention of the heart of man was only evil continually. But Noah found grace. Noah wasn't any different from them. Noah wasn't any different from the world. He was dead in trespasses and sins. Every intention of his heart was evil continually too. The difference was that Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. The difference was that the Lord loved Noah. That was the difference right there. And the same with us by nature. Among whom we also had our conversation in times past, in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. No difference. No difference. But here's the difference. Here's the difference. I love those scriptures where you see the but God, and that's where it all begins. That's where this begins. In the beginning, God. It all begins with him, and it ends with him. But God, who is rich in mercy for his great love, wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins. The love of God manifested. Even while we were sinners, Christ died for us. Even when we were dead in sins, has quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved. And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And in the ages to come, he might show us the exceeding riches of his grace. That same word exceeding is the same word that was used where it talks about past his understanding. It's exceeding in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. The work of salvation is a work of love. You think of that baby in the field over there in Ezekiel chapter 16. born in sin, dying, polluted in its own blood. And the Lord went to that baby and said, "Behold, thy time is the time of love." That's salvation, the time of love. Those whom God loves, those whom Christ died to redeem, are eternally secure in that love. Look at Romans chapter 8, and we'll end with this. Look at verse 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress, or persecution or famine, or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, "For thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us." More than conquerors. Christ died for us. Christ redeemed us. We read earlier in that passage that we were predestinated to be conformed to the image of God's Son, and that he called us, justified us, glorified us. And all these things were more than conquerors. Who's going to condemn one of those that Christ died for? Who is he that condemneth? Who's going to lay a charge to any of God's elect? It's Christ that died. In him were more than conquerors. And that whole entire work of salvation was a work of love. And I love how Paul ends this. Who's going to separate us from the love of Christ? He just declared everything that Christ did for those whom God the Father gave him. And he said, who's going to separate us from the love of Christ? Death, distress, peril, sword, man, Satan? I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature. What's the depth of God's love? What's the height of God's love? What's the width, the breadth? Nor height, nor depth is going to separate us from the love of God. Nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God. And where is that? Which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us. Let's pray.